right. Thank you, Naomi. I appreciate that this evening. Well, when your kids get older and they start getting close to marrying age, of course, you're always concerned about that from the time they come into your home. You start thinking about it when they're little. And then you start thinking about the individual that they will marry someday in the Lord's will. And as important, if not more important than the individual, is the family that the individual comes from. And we've just been so blessed that Ben was led to the Lord to marry into the Finn family. I couldn't be happier, couldn't be just more glad about that for him. They raised a wonderful daughter and been good examples of Christians, and Brother Finn especially, a faithful man many, many years. So it means a lot to you when your kids marry into good, stable families. Some of you all have had that happen, and others of you will have that happen down the road. It is a blessing. He's my friend. I'm glad he's here tonight. They've had a wonderful time with the girls. We've had a crowded house, but it's been a good crowd. Amen. And it's just been a great time. So he's going to preach after the young people come sing for us. So teenagers, you come and sing for us tonight. We'll be blessed by that. And as soon as they're done, you listen carefully to Brother Finn tonight as he comes and brings the message. All right, we'll enjoy.
Thank you, young people, for that. That was a blessing, wasn't it? Seeing Brother Hall direct the singing makes me feel old. When I was traveling with the ambassadors one year, and this is a long time ago because this was when Brother Gomez was in Prospect Heights. Me and one of the guys, the ambassador, stayed over at Brother Hall's house. Well, young Brother Hall was about like that. As long, he said, I don't remember that. That was a long time ago. Well, it's good to be here tonight. Good to be in the land of Illinois. I've grown web feet already. The rain started in Oklahoma City a little bit and then followed. Then when we got to St. Louis, it just kind of come on. I thank God that we made it safe. Good to be here. Good to see you tonight. Seen a lot of familiar faces. Ira over here, and man, just many, but Johnsons, and good to see all the young associates, and Emily, and Caleb, and Brother Hall, and Brother Bragg. Talked to his dad, and I'm amazed that I even remembered all these names. I normally, you know, when you get older, you forget some of these things, but I'm glad to be here. I'm just glad to be alive tonight. So all my grandkids come in, and Brinley was sitting on my lap today. No, that was yesterday. And I was telling her a story, you know, and she was telling me a story about castles and princes and stuff. And she was real serious. And all of a sudden she stopped. She looked at my belly and she says, there a baby in there? I just fell out. Only grandkids can do that. They can do no wrong. I got Pastor Tom, our pastor now. We were telling him we want to go up and see the kids, and he says, "Yeah." He said, "I remember when I come back from Africa." Said my dad would take us out to eat about every night, and he'd go to gumball machine, and he'd buy those kids a whole handful of candy and gum and everything. And then when it got time for us to go home, he says, "Tom, I need." He said, "Tom, I need to talk to you." He says, "Your kids are spoiled." Tom says, "Hello." I mean, I don't think I did that. But that's what grandparents are for, you know that. How many grandparents we got here tonight? That's reading so grand, man. You got grandkids, and then you get to spoil them, and then you can go home, or they go home somewhere, and the parents have to take care of them. So that's so. Brother Angel and I have had a lot of fun with that. Yeah, it's a little crowded over there, but it's a lot of fun. I appreciate the opportunity to be here, and I appreciate Brother Angel letting me preach. And I like this time of year. I really do. Our pastor likes this time of year. He's like a kid in the candy store. You know, he's over in Africa for 15 years, and it's 100-degree weather during Christmas. Well, man, he's enjoying all this kind of stuff and just having. But when I think about Christmas time, I think about a lot of things, but I think about my dad. My dad, he always kind of led in the Christmas things. And, of course, he's in heaven now. He went there in December 20th of 2009. But Christmas brings back a lot of good memories, a good time. And so I want to speak on that subject tonight. Look, if you have your Bible, look with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and I want you, verse 8. Just a familiar story that my dad always used to read out of Luke, the Christmas story. He liked the Christmas story from Luke, and he'd read out of Luke. And I want to do that tonight and just bring you some thoughts. The passage of Scripture, you've read it many times. You know the story. Most you young people probably even tell the story. But it's good that we get to read it in the Word of God. And in, let's start at verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known unto known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. I want to speak just for a few moments tonight on the real reason for the season. The real reason for the season. Lord, we ask you to bless what we say tonight. Help us to be a help and a blessing. Pour your grace and mercy out upon us. Lord, help us to have a wonderful time during Christmas and celebrate it for the right reason. And Lord, we know that this whole world is commercialized this time of year and really misled people in what it's all about. And help us as God's people to always, to never forget the reason for this time of the year, and then be a good witness and a testimony throughout this whole wicked world. And stand for Jesus, and we'll thank you and praise you for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as down through the years, the Christmas season means a lot of things to a lot of people, and of course to God's people, it means the time of Christ's birth. And there's a lot of misunderstanding in the world. I've read bunch of stories and illustrations about how what people think, and even little kids a lot of the times anymore don't even know why they celebrate or why they celebrate the Christmas time. And it's up to us as God's people to let our children know the true story of Christmas so they can pass it on to their generation. You know, it seems like the time that you start buying for Christmas comes earlier and earlier and earlier every year. I enjoy Thanksgiving. I always like Thanksgiving. I'm not too crazy about Black Friday. But how many of you went on Black Friday? You went out. My wife went out with some ladies. They had braver than Sergeant York. I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. They don't have enough sales for me to go out there. But anyway, they have a lot of fun doing that. But a lot of folks see Christmas in the wrong light. Well, the Bible gives us the real reason. And, you know, a lot of folks talk about Santa Claus and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and I don't have any problem with that. I grew up with that when I was a kid, and I'm not going to be a Scrooge and, you know, and act like, but really, it's not all about Santa Claus. And I picked up something the other day that, someone had done a Santa versus Jesus thing. And it said, Santa lives at the North Pole. Jesus lives everywhere. Santa rides in a sleigh, and Jesus rides on the wind and walks on the water. Santa comes once a year. Jesus is ever-present help. Santa comes down your chimney. Jesus stands at your door, your heart's door, and knocks. Santa fills your stockings with goodies. Jesus supplies all your needs. You have to wait in line to see Santa. Jesus is close as a mention of his name. Santa lets you sit in his lap. Jesus holds you in his hand. Santa has a belly like a bowl of jelly. Jesus has a heart of love. Santa's little helpers make new toys. Jesus makes new lives. Santa puts gifts under your tree. Jesus becomes our gift and died on the tree. That's pretty good. I think Jesus wins out on that. So tonight I just want to take this story and just kind of give you a few points tonight. Hope it won't take long. The first thing I want us to see tonight is Christmas is a time for giving. Christmas is a time for giving. In verse 11 of this chapter, chapter 2, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It's a time of giving. God, we know God gave His Son to mankind. That's the reason Jesus came. When those shepherds heard the words of the angels, they were told that a Savior was coming to the world. This child was born in Bethlehem, wouldn't be any ordinary baby. This is proven by the angelic announcements prior to his birth in Luke 1 and Matthew chapter 1. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he was literally God in the flesh. Jesus is God. Jesus is God the Son. Now, you know what I found out about witnessing and soul winning and talking about the Lord? Most people, it doesn't bother them for you to talk to them about religion. They'll talk to you all day about religion. Matter of fact, they'll talk to you all day about church, and they might even talk to you about some doctrines in the Bible. But when you start mentioning the name Jesus Christ, that He is God, you get a lot of folks upset. You know why? Because you get the devil upset. You can talk about anything you want to, but as long as you leave Jesus out, then you're leaving out the reason that for mankind to be saved. And so, Christmas is a time for giving. God gave His Son so that we could have eternal life. Matter of fact, John 3:16 talks about, for God so loved the world, gave His only begotten Son. And that only begotten Son, He gave His only begotten Son, means that He literally gave up His Son. That's what the Bible says, a Son is given. There's no mistakes in the way the words are in the Scripture. And I'm glad that God gave us the greatest gift of all. From the cradle was the first step on His road to the cross. So God gave His Son to men. Now, the thing that men needs to do is give their soul to God. You know, I like to get gifts, but I like to give gifts. Jesus says more blessed to give than to receive. And you know, I thought about this. If you were to give a gift to the Lord, what would you give Him? If you would give a gift to God, what would it be? The shepherds and the wise men, they were two groups of people that that the Lord gave to them announcement. You know, have you ever, we had this happen this Christmas. You have people that you need to buy a gift for, but you can't figure out what to give them. Why? They have everything. You ever met anybody like that? Trying to figure out what to give Mom. Mom's got everything in the world. We used to try to figure out what to give Cheryl's dad. He's in heaven now. He got my dad had everything. What do you give him? You know, if you apply that to God, what can you give God? Oh, I'll give God money. Well, you know, in the church, you don't want to forget your giving, your tithes and faith promise. But you know what? In actuality, God doesn't need our money. He needs our faithfulness. But he doesn't need a man. Well, I'll give God, you know, this or that, or I'll give him a house, or I'll give him, you know, God doesn't, he doesn't need our money. I'll give him my talents. Well, he can use them, but he doesn't need them. He doesn't need a fruit basket. He doesn't need a new tie. He doesn't need a pair of socks or a handkerchief. In fact, if you think about it, you know, he doesn't need anything. He owns everything. When you get right down to it, everything I have belongs to God. Oh, you say, well, I own my house. No, you don't. You miss a payment. You miss you paying your tax on it. You won't have it for long. I own my car. Don't really. If you miss a payment on it, you're not going to have it for long. Really, we don't really own anything. God owns everything. But there's only one thing that we can give God. That's our soul. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you ought to give God your soul. Get saved. You can give Him your soul. Christmas time is a time for giving. Secondly, Christmas time is a time for good things, good tidings. He said, I bring you good tidings. Literally, that phrase you look up, it means good news. It means evangelizing. The word means evangelize when you get right down to it. The message that the angels were giving was actually a message of salvation. A Savior is coming into the world. What does it mean, a Savior? It means that He came and God gave up His Son to be our Savior. Because man was headed straight to hell. And Jesus provided a way to get out of hell. That's good tidings. The message that the angels brought was a message of salvation. It was also a message of hope. You think about these old shepherds out in the field. Shepherds were the lowliest of the group. Just lowly shepherds, just wandering around in the fields, following their... But Jesus came to that lowly, ragged bunch. Announced the birth of the Savior to them above it. Didn't go to the temple necessarily first time. Went to the shepherds. It's a message of hope. The message, by the way, hadn't changed. It's still a message of hope. Jesus Christ will save anybody that comes to Him. The gospel is still a message of hope. That's the reason missionaries go to the foreign fields. We've been national over in Madagascar trying to win some of those Malagasy people to Christ. Ben wrote in his letter a few months back about Rochelle, the guy that worked for him. My wife reminded me of that letter, how that when they first moved in their house, they first got there, Ben was out doing some business, Ashley and the girls were home. And it was dark, and I don't know if it was raining. Was it raining? And she was there, never been to Madagascar in her life, just a little old country bumpkin. No, I'm sorry, city bumpkin. And there was a knock on the door, and this little Malagasy man come, with a candle, with light. That's her first introduction to Rochelle. He brought her and the girl some light. He wasn't saved then. But then after a while, he got the light in his heart. It ain't get much better than that. He got the light. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about good tidings. It's about giving. The message is still the same. It hasn't changed. And then Christmas is also about, it's a time of amazing grace. In verse number 11, the Bible says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." You see, in a real sense, now we talk about Jesus as a reason, and technically that's true, but in a real sense, the season is about us. Now think about this, just a minute, don't leave me on this. Don't leave me. It says, a Savior is born. By the way, that's what it says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. The reason Jesus Christ came to this earth was for you and me. Bottom line, he had no other reason to come. But God loved us so much that he sent his Son to come down. Grace, that means unmerited favor, unmerited love. Just as Jesus came, or the angels came to those shepherds in the field, they didn't deserve salvation. And the wise men didn't deserve salvation, but wait a minute, they're not one of us deserve salvation. If Joe Finn got what he deserved tonight, he deserved to die and go to hell and burn forever. But it's by the grace of God that I got saved when I was 15 years old. I asked the Lord to forgive me and save me. And he come into my heart. And he changed my life and never been the same. Now, if you're here tonight, I don't know if there's any love, but if you're here tonight, Jesus will do the same for you. You see, because Christmas is a time for amazing grace. None of us deserve to go to heaven, but God made a way. Christmas is a time for giving. Christmas is a time for good tidings. Christmas is a time for grace. But also Christmas is a time for glorifying God. In verse number 13 and 14, "And suddenly there was with a great angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. It's a time for glorifying God. After these angels gave his first speech to the shepherd, and the Bible says that there was a multitude of heavenly hosts that lifted up their voices to give glory and praise to God. Now, I'll tell you tonight, this season, the devil's crowd's going to do everything they can to bring honor and glory to the one they serve. God's people ought to bring honor and glory to God. I read something the other day, and I wish I'd have brought it and read it to you, but it's about, you know, they want to take Merry Christmas out of everything. They want to take anything that has to do with Christ or Bethlehem or Christmas out, and it was exhorting us to not say Happy Holiday, but Merry Christmas. And if anybody ought to stand up and testify for the Savior and witness during this time of year, ought to be God's people. Because this is the season. This is not the season to be quiet. This is a season to shout aloud and praise God and get excited about the time of the year. We know that Christmas is secularized and it's commercialized, but it's still the day that we commemorate the birth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Today you hear God's name taken in vain. You hear Jesus Christ's name taken in vain. People make fun of Christians. People make fun of Christianity. They make fun of old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist people who believe in the King James Bible. They make a lot of fun of God's people. But God still wants us to stand tall and be the salt of the earth and light of the world. Because one day the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is going to rule. And we need to take a stand in this time of year. It's a time for glorifying God and praising the Lord. After, if you notice, after the shepherds met him, man, they went about everywhere praising God and telling everybody about Jesus Christ. And that's what we ought to do. I know now in some places they don't even have soul winning anymore. Don't have bus ministry much. But our job is to win souls. We've been studying the gifts of the Holy Spirit in Sunday school. And out of all the gifts, the gift of evangelism is the one everybody's supposed to do. They say, well, I don't have that gift. According to the Bible, you go whether you got the gift or not. You see, God blesses that. And so it's a time for glorifying God and praising God. Christmas is a time for giving. It's a time for good things and good tidings. It's a time for amazing grace. Christmas is a time for glorifying God. But lastly, this is my favorite. Christmas is a time for going home. Now think about this. Time for going home. Verse 4 of chapter 2, it says, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child." He went back to the home of his ancestors. You think about it. On Christmas, Joseph returned to the ancient home of his forefathers. For Mary and him was a time of going home. Many of us, many of you, will be maybe going out of town. You'll go home. How many of you are going to be going out of town? And you'll be kind of like going home for Christmas. How many of your children are coming here, coming home? All right, so it's a time, I know that we came up here to see Ashley and Ben came home, but during Christmas time, we will go down and see my mother and Cheryl's mother. They're getting up in years. And I remember Christmas time is special to me, because my dad sat under the Christmas tree, by the Christmas tree, and all the grandkids would come up there and he'd read the Christmas story out of Luke chapter 2. Never forget that. And then we'd open our gifts and he'd tell the story about, and that's special. Now, we had a lot of things. We had food run out of our ears. I mean, if you're in a Finn home, you're going to have food everywhere. We had turkeys. We had ham. One year we had a wild game Christmas. We had elk. We had moose. We even had some black bear meat. And I want to tell you what, it wasn't real good. It was a little greasy. We had duck. We had pheasant. We had quail. But we had my mom's good cooking all in all. And, of course, you ladies, I know Mrs. Angel was preparing, and ladies like to do those things and fix all those. But it's a time, Christmas time, of going home and visiting family. Well, this is a family. My church is a family. And my church is the most important thing to me in my life outside my Savior. I don't know how they kept me for 33 years. I've caused a lot of grief and heartache. But it's home. Christmas is about going home. One of these days, we'll all go home. But we wouldn't have the opportunity if Jesus hadn't come to this earth, become a baby, grow up, die on the cross for all mankind. Time of going home. Let me say, too, that maybe there's someone here that you need to go home. Maybe you're kind of like the prodigal. And all year you've been kind of wondering. And you hadn't been where you ought to be with your Heavenly Father. Well, you ought to go home this season. And get things right with Him. I can tell you this, if you do, he'll be waiting with open arms. won't turn you down. Because he got a lot of grace. You know, we're saved by grace, but we serve because of grace too. And maybe there's someone tonight who just needs to come home. You're not saved. You need to come home. You need to come to the Savior. You need to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Come home. Christmas is a time for going home. A time for glorifying God. It's a time for God's grace. It's a time for good tidings. It's a time for giving. Now, where are you in all this tonight? Maybe this year you haven't given the Lord like you should. I don't know. I don't know most of you. Maybe that's something that you need to square away with the Lord. Maybe you haven't witnessed like you should. You know you should, and you know how to, but maybe you haven't done it like you should. Well, it's time for you to give good tidings out. Maybe you just need a little a dose of God's grace. You know, in 1 Peter, the Bible says that He's the God of all grace. Nobody can give out grace like God. And maybe tonight you just need, if you're lost, come home. And if you're saved but you're not right with the Lord, maybe you just need to go home and confess to the Father, Father, I've been wrong, but I want to get right. And you know what? Every time I've done that, He's never turned me down one time. And He won't you either tonight. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That word, if we confess our sins, that word confess means to agree with God that what you did, you see what you did as God sees it, and God will forgive us. The real reason for the season. Let's all bow our head. Close our eyes. I'd like to ask the couple of questions tonight, two or three questions. Maybe you're here tonight and the Lord's been speaking to you about something in your life. Maybe you haven't, maybe you're here tonight and you haven't given God your soul. You haven't trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You haven't been saved. Maybe you need to do that tonight. You just need to give Him your heart and soul. Maybe tonight that you haven't been soul winning like you ought to and given out the good tidings that there's a Savior that loves us and He wants to save us. And maybe tonight you just need a big dose of God's grace and ask Him to forgive you and help you and strengthen you. Maybe tonight you just need to come and confess, Lord, this year I haven't been glorifying Your name and bragging on You like I should to a lost and dying world. I've been kind of ashamed at work. I haven't, you know, people take the Lord's name, but I haven't stood up and be the salt of the earth and light of the world that ought to be. Or maybe tonight you just need to come home. Or maybe you need to go home like the prodigal. You're here tonight and say, Brother Finn, God spoke to me about something in my life. Would you pray for me? Would you just lift your hand up? All right. Let me ask this question. Is there one here tonight and say, Brother Finn, I am not saved. I do not know if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I would like to know that tonight. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up and then put it back down? I'll pray for you. Slip your hand up, put it back down. Got one little girl. Slip your hand up. How many tonight said, Brother Finn, I'm saved and know it and not ashamed of it? Would you raise your hand? All right. God bless you. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to serve You. We thank You for this time of the year. We thank You for the opportunity to preach the Word of God. We thank You for these faithful folk come out tonight in this weather. I pray You bless tonight in Your invitation. I pray that God's people will do business as they need to. I pray that, Lord, if there's a lost person tonight, that You would save them tonight, that they would come home and trust you as Savior. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen.